Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. As you're finding your place, if you're able this morning, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and thank you for this great time of the year that we get to celebrate and think and praise and just rehearse in our minds the great gift that you've given us in Jesus. Now, Lord, do a work in our hearts today. Help us to be more thankful, better Christians. Just do a great work for the need that we have today. For this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this day or on the internet that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, now I want you to just take your Bibles and look at verse 7 today in this account of Christ coming into this world from Luke's Gospel. It says in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And then the statement at the end of verse 7 is our thought today, because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus Christ came into this world. Christmas means Christ sent. And here's the account in the Bible of how Jesus came into this world. There was no room for him in the inn. I don't know if there was more than one inn in Bethlehem at the time, but for some reason there was no room in this one. You say, well, Pastor, you have to understand that it was a time of taxing. There were a lot of people in the town that didn't normally live there, and so there just wasn't a lot of space. And things just happened. And Jesus was born in a barn and laid in a feeding trough and wrapped in poor man's clothes. Swaddling clothes are the strips of old clothing. They would tear into long strips and wrap their babies and swaddle them in. But that was a poor man's way of doing things. I wonder if the people in that inn realized that Christ Jesus was in the stable behind them. I wonder if the innkeeper realized when he said, I'm sorry, there's no room for you and your wife, that there's Mary standing there, his espoused wife. But great with child, he makes a pregnant woman give birth in a barn. Pushes them out. We know from Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel, there are a lot of people that missed this event. Herod missed the event because he was more interested in keeping his throne in Matthew chapter 2. The scribes that told Herod and the wise men that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they just said, oh, he's over there in Bethlehem. 5.5 miles from Jerusalem, by the way. Even a short journey in those days. They just said, oh, he's over there, and they stayed. They missed it. Most of the world missed the fact that Christ came into this world. And look at me this morning, dear people. And most of the world are going to miss Christmas this year, too. Oh, the day will come and go. But the point, the purpose of Christ being sent to us, most of them will miss that. And sadly, most Christians will miss what Christmas is really all about. We're not here to decry the commercialization of Christmas. We're not here to talk about any of that stuff today. I just want to simply talk to you about this simple subject today, and that is what you don't want to miss this Christmas. Now, just practically, before we get to the meat of the message, you see, is there meat? I hope so. If we get to the meat of the message, practically, don't miss the fact that this is Christmas this year. I guarantee we go around the room this morning and there are folks who will have an empty spot at their Christmas this year. Some folks are in heaven. Some folks, their family situation has changed and those folks won't be there for Christmas this year. Some of you have loved ones who serve in the military and they're away from home for Christmas. I've mentioned it these last two Sundays. Two of the most memorable Christmases in my life were the ones I spent away from my home when I served my country as a single young man overseas. Well, one of them wasn't overseas. It was in Texas, but that's close enough. Truth of the matter is, dear people, please don't miss the fact. If you get together with your loved ones this Christmas, would you please enjoy yourself? It may be controlled mayhem. It may be quiet and simple. One of my favorite Christmases was when we were in Bible college and we couldn't come home and the family couldn't come to us, and it was my wife and I and our little ones. And it was our first Christmas where it was just us for Christmas. I really enjoyed that Christmas. I did. It was simple, but it was sweet, and we had a great time. We do the alternating thing now with our three of our four married. They get to go, their families get them for the one Thanksgiving, we get them for Christmas, and then we alternate. So this year is our off year, so we don't have any kids. I'm going to go out and rent some kids. I'm going to stand on the street corner with a cardboard sign, "We'll rent kids for Christmas." So it's kind of a different Christmas for us. But you know something? I'm still not going to miss what Christmas is all about. Please don't do that. Please don't assume, well, there'll be another. You don't know that. You do not know that. If Jesus comes back before Christmas next year, this is our last Christmas. Whatever your reasoning or your thinking, please don't miss Christmas. Please don't miss what it means either. And that's what the message is about. See, listen, people. Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and humbled himself, the Bible said, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ came into this world, into this life. And that Christmas, Christ sent, there's something about that you don't want to miss. First thing is this, you want to remember that Christmas means that God has sought us out. Jesus is one of his names given him at his birth in Matthew 1:18, fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. One of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. But get the picture. That wasn't an accident that Jesus showed up. That was God's design and desire that Jesus Christ, his only son, would come into this world and do so in a miraculous fashion. He would be conceived in the virgin womb of Mary, and he would be born of a virgin named Mary, and he would come into this world in a miraculous way, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But get this now, Christmas means God has been seeking us out. He sent his son to us, for us, and with us. Do you get that today? Man didn't do this. This is God. That's the wickedness of people who say, many liberals in among Christian community, liberals believe that Jesus was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier, and Mary was an immoral woman, and she just conceived outside of wedlock, and that kind of junk. Let me tell you something. That slaps in the face of God, who sought us out by sending us his son, Jesus Christ. God is seeking us. Do you get that? He is seeking us out. He sought us out by giving us the most precious thing that we could ever have or hope for. He sent us his son, Jesus Christ. He came into this world. God is seeking you. You may not see it through the circumstances of your life, but God is seeking you. You may not see it through the conditions and how you live, but God is seeking you. You may not understand it the way your life is gone or what has happened to you, but I assure you, God is seeking you. This time of Christmas, as I've mentioned, is a special time for me because growing up in a drunkard's home, it was the most normal time in our family. People just sort of made peace with each other, and there was no daily fighting and all the stuff that went on. Seemed like as soon as the tree went up, things just kind of got calm in the household. Now, I didn't say it was peaceful, but it was better than what it was. There was a fight every day with my mother drunk and my stepfather drunk. They fought every day. They fought all the time. I don't recall them ever having a decent conversation between the two of them ever in our childhood. So Christmas has always kind of been special in that way to me. But you know something, Ned, coming up from that as a boy, then coming to church and someone telling me that God loved me and Christ died for me, I had no issue with that. Some people turn away from God because of the difficulties of their life. You're making a huge mistake. I'm not saying God wanted me in a drunkard's home. I'm not saying God wanted my life like that. I'm saying this. I found out that when God loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me on the cross, it did something to me as a boy. Now, I've been saved since I was 9 years old. It still does something to me to think that God is seeking me out. He still is. Don't miss this about Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. That's not just a baby, that's God with us. Who would grow to become a child and a teenager and then a young adult. That is God with us. That's God walking this earth in human flesh, who humbled himself to that point. That's God with us. But that's God seeking us out. Christ is here. He came to be with us. He walked this earth and went to the cross and died and went to the grave and rose again 3 days later. And that's God extending his hand of mercy to us. God sought us out, my friend. I know that gets lost in the hustle of Christmas time and the holiday seasons and everything else that goes on. To me, it means Emmanuel, God with us. God sought me out. It did something to me as a boy when someone told me God loved me and that Christ died for me. I thought, for me? That's why salvation is accepting Christ as your personal Savior. You don't accept the church, you accept Christ. You don't accept Christians, you accept Christ. Because it's about you trusting Him for your salvation. That's why he came. He came to seek you out. The Bible says in Luke 19 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look at me. If you have a religion today that requires you to seek God, you got the wrong one. If you have a philosophy or a belief that you have to seek God, you got to seek him through a baptistry. You've got to seek God through a religion. You've got to seek God through how you live or what you do or what you don't do. You've got the wrong philosophy, wrong thinking, wrong religion, wrong anything else that goes with it, because God has already sought you out. To come to Christ, you and I must realize he has come to us. To come to Jesus Christ for salvation, you must realize he has come to you to provide for you salvation. And his death on the cross pays the payment, full and free, for the sins you've committed in your life. And salvation is through Christ. Don't miss this at Christmas now. God has sought us out. Don't miss this at Christmas too. God has given to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave to us. Remember that the gift-giving thing about Christmas comes from two things. From the wise men, their gifts given to Christ there in the house when Jesus was about 2 years old. They gave him gifts, and this is sort of a reenactment, an analogy if you want to, of the gifts Christ gave when we give gifts to one another. But number two, it also means this. This gift-giving thing really for us should remind us God gave to us the unspeakable gift of Christ. You know, the Bible says in John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The baby in the manger is God giving us what we need. Thankfully, not giving us what we deserve, but giving us what we need. Someone has said if we needed education, he would have sent us an educator. If we needed medical help, he'd have sent us a doctor. If we needed direction, he'd have sent us a politician, though they don't know what they're doing anyway. If we needed protection, he'd have sent us a policeman. But we must have needed a Savior because he sent us Jesus the Savior. His name means salvation, and he has come, and God gave to us, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas time, you exchange gift. Have you ever gotten a gift you didn't care for? And when you got it, you tried to look like you enjoyed it. Maybe lying at Christmas Day is the only legal time where it's allowed. You open it and you go, oh, yeah. Of all the things I've ever gotten, that's one of them. in our family because the kids getting married and stuff, and then my wife had four sisters. One's in heaven now. We all get together for Christmas. It got to be so many people, you couldn't afford gifts for everybody. And you don't have to do that, by the way. If you can't afford it, you don't do it. So what we would do is draw names. Put everybody's name on a piece of paper, put it in a hat, you pull the name out. That's the person you bought the gift for, and it kind of worked that way. I had a brother-in-law who was absolutely the worst gift giver on this planet. And it seemed like every Christmas he got my name. Either that or people did the swap behind my back and never told me a thing. Whose name did you get? Here, give me this. Here, give it to Mike. He'll take care of anything. Here, give it to me. Now, don't get upset with me if I say this to you, but he was a Dallas Cowboy fan. And he would buy me Dallas Cowboy stuff. I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm sorry. I'm just not a Dallas Cowboy fan. I wasn't then. I'm still not to this day. I'm living and dying with the Chicago Bears. I know, and I'm mostly dying, quite frankly. But the truth, don't laugh at me. But the truth of the matter is, whatever he gave me for Christmas, it was something with the Dallas Cowboys. And I look at it and I think, Kee. If I had a dog, I'd give it to him. I don't even have a dog, for goodness sakes. And you get gifts and you think, yeah. You say, well, it's the thought that counts. And I'd always look at it and think, he didn't think about that at all. There's no way. He gave me a Dallas Cowboy shirt or something. I thought, well, I need to check the oil in the car anyway. But anyway, we got. You wait till they leave. You hope they left the tag in it, and you go trade it in and get something that you really want. That's not regifting. That's just called good sense. The Bible says God gave us. God gave to us. God gave. For God so loved that he gave. He gave. Can I ask you a question this morning? Does that seem a little odd to you that God should have to give us anything? Maybe you don't look at it like that. I kind of think it's a little different that he would be willing to give us. Now listen to me. Not just something. He gave us himself. He gave us his precious son. And the Bible said Jesus was the Father manifest in the flesh. So he gave us his son and himself. But he doesn't. There's no reason for him to give us anything. He created this world for us, put us here on this earth. He created all these things. He gave us. He's given us so much. And then our greatest need comes, and he gives to the greatest need that we have. That's what Christmas is. God gave to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 to me comes alive at Christmas time. It's always a good verse, a tremendous verse. Many of you got saved on John 3:16. You can lead a person to Christ with John 3:16. It's amazing the power of that one simple great verse in Gospel of John chapter 3. It's amazing. But don't pass it up now. Don't miss it at Christmas time. God gave to us. You ever had someone been so generous to you and then they do something else and you think, you don't have to give me anything else. My brother and I were having lunch together one day. We finished with lunch and the waitress brought the check over and he went to pick it up. I said, no, let me take care of that. He goes, okay, go ahead. You ever give somebody something and they say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. My answer is always, and give it back. If you're like, I shouldn't have done it, then just give it back. I'll take and give it to somebody else. Give it. We have a way of receiving and giving things that's a little bit different. But when you change that to this, God, who has already given us so much, has he not given you a great deal, friend? Let me back up and try that one more time. I said, he's not already given you a great deal in life. Yes, he has. But the greatest thing he ever gave you was his son. Christmas time. For God so loved that he gave. I owe him more now than I could ever pay him back in 100 lifetimes. And it all starts with this. 9-year-old boy, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior because God gave his son for me, who died on the cross and went to the grave and rose again. And I trusted his payment for my salvation, and I got saved. But you know, he's given to me. He hasn't stopped then. Now he's given me life and health, and he's blessed me in my life. It's amazing to stop and think about it. Don't miss it at Christmas time. God has given to you. It's like a personal gift from God. Do you see it like that? Or is it just another holiday to get stupid, do something crazy, get drunk, act like a fool? Disgusts me to think that America will swill itself silly on liquor at Christmas time. Celebrating the birth of the perfect Son of God into this world, swilling liquor. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's foolishness that people are going to party like idiots, dance around on tables with lampshades on their head to celebrate the birth of the perfect Son of God. That's just wicked. And if that's you, you're wicked. Did I get that across? Okay. Okay, that's good. That's wrong. No, that's messed up. I'm sorry. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's like taking the pure, perfect Son of God and slapping him in the face with a bottle of whiskey. That's just wrong. I'm sorry, I got my issues with that, and I'll get off it in just a minute. As soon as some of you quit looking at me the way you're looking at me, we'll be all right. The truth of the matter is, I'm having a good time. I don't care if you are or not. We're all good up here. The truth of the matter is God gave to us. You understand that? God gave to us. He gave us his perfect Son, and Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for us. And then after he gave us his Son, he gave us his Son to go to the cross. And at the cross, he gave us salvation, eternal life through Jesus' payment. And after that, he went to the grave and he rose again, and he gave us eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, the Bible says. Don't miss that at Christmas now. God gave to us. Have you received that unspeakable gift? Have you? Do you know, look at me, do you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? And are you 100% certain of that? Is that settled in your life? Have you made a perfect and simple decision to accept Christ's payment for your salvation, trusting Him alone to save you? And you see, He not only gave you salvation, He gave you eternal life. He gave you a relationship with God. He gave you a home in heaven. He gave you an heirship with Christ, and you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's still giving to you all because of what Christ gave you. And He gave Christ to us. Don't miss this at Christmas, please. That is that God loves us. John 3:16, one more time, please, if I may bore you with this verse. For God so loved. That broke a hard-hearted little boy, 9 years old, in American Baptist Church in Antioch, California. That broke me that day. If you ever grew up in a difficult childhood, you know what happens. You have to become tough, and you have to become hard to deal with life. Just to deal with living, day-by-day living. You probably notice I have somewhat of an active imagination. Okay, that comes from playing games in my little mind as a boy. While they're in there beating on each other in the other room, I had to play these little games in my mind to distance myself from it. You know, people, then after that, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't grow up in a Christian home and family. I grew up in the drunkard's home as a boy until I was 9 and then went to live with my dad. And he and his wife went to church. So going to church was something totally new to me. I do not know what Sunday school, how long we've been going or whatever happened. I just know that one day in a Sunday school class, a teacher told me that God loved me. And as I said a moment ago, I had no issue with that. I had no, well, if God loved me, how come I have such a tough? Would you knock that off, please? Please knock it off. Please stop blaming God for the mistakes people make. Just knock it off. Don't hold it against Him because somebody did wrong. He doesn't puppet anybody, and He doesn't puppet you. We're not strings, puppets on a string. We're free moral agents who have our ability to make choices. He'll determine the consequences, by the way. But he allows people to make their choices. And sometimes in so doing, they make bad choices. That's okay. You made your bad choices, and He didn't puppet you either. But when they told me that as a boy, it just struck me. God loved me. I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have any issues about it. I wasn't resentful. Didn't bother me. I wasn't angry at God about it. I didn't think to myself, well, if He really loves me, what's the big deal? Hey, look at me. I just thought, my goodness, God loves me. And it was like an arrow to my heart. And that, the love of God and the fear of hell brought me to Christ. Kind of a little bit of a dichotomy, you might say. I didn't want to go to hell when I died. And God loved me enough to send Jesus so I don't have to go to hell. Even as a 9-year-old boy, I'd already done enough in my life to know I was a sinner. Had no issues with that one. Not hard to understand. Just takes an honest person to admit it. We'd already begun to steal and do things like that as boys. I'd already done things as a 9-year-old boy. Some people in that generation and day and age didn't do until they were in their 20s or their 30s. But I had no problem with the sinner issue. I knew I'd go to hell when I died 9 years old. Well, you shouldn't tell children that. Yeah, you should tell them the truth. Oh, but be sure to tell them the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That not only are you sinners, you go to hell, but there's God's love that keeps you from it. And God's love is manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. God loved me. God loves me. God loves me. So now it's 54 some years later. God loves me. Still gets me. Sorry. Haven't got over it yet. Don't plan to get over it either, by the way. Nothing wrong with it, so there's nothing to forget about. There's nothing to leave out of it. Christmas is God loves you. You get that? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God loves you. See, I don't see it, Pastor Johnson. You don't have to see it. You just have to understand it. You have to just be willing to accept the fact that wrapped in those swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough in a barn behind an inn in Bethlehem's manger 2,000 years ago, God decided to manifest in human flesh not only His Son, Jesus Christ, as God the Son, but manifest and commend to us the love of God. And God loves us. I don't know what that does for your Christmas, but see, that kind of encourages me. Sometimes you don't always know about the love others have for you. Agreed? Sometimes it's not always evident. Sometimes it's not always proven. Sometimes it's not always demonstrated. Sometimes it's not always expressed. Sometimes it's not always given. Sometimes it's given to us with a kind of a hurtfulness behind it. You think, well, if that's love, I don't need it. But God loves you with a perfect love. He loves you with His love, the love of God. And you know something, dear friend, God loves you and has loved you, does love you, will continue to love you. And don't forget that at Christmas now. Don't forget that. God loves us. And then take one more step and say, God loves me. I'm sorry for people who have a religion that's just something that's a practice or a ritual or something like that. I'm sorry they have a religion like that. I'm sorry they have a religion with all the kneeling and the bowing and the swaying and swinging and the incense pots and all the chanting. I'm sorry they got a religion that's like that. I'm sorry it's a religion that's just a ritual and a practice. See, we have something that's not a religion. It's a relationship. And the relationship is personal and it's individual. And what's amazing when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, it means He loves everybody on the planet, and it means He loves everybody on the planet, and He loves them all one at a time. One at a time. That's you. That's you this morning. God loves you. It amazes me that when we were in the Muslim countries and talking to people who were saved out of the religion of Islam, it amazes me that the thing that convicted them the most and brought them to their salvation was the love of God. That God loved them. Because see, in the Islamic religion, the Muslim religion, Their God, which doesn't exist, their God does not ever express His love to His people. They have a God that doesn't, they don't even know if He loves them, don't know if He cares about them. And these people out of the saved, the Muslim religion, if you leave the Muslim religion, especially to become a Christian, your family will kill you. If they're strong Muslims, they'll kill you. And to leave that and risk your life and rejection from your family, but to know a God that loves you, it was amazing to watch their faces when they explained it to us. You could just see that it washed over their countenance that God loved them. When I found out that God loved me, they said, I wanted to know Him. You say, well, yeah, Pastor Johnson, I know that God loves me. Yeah, that's our problem. We know it, huh? We've come to accept it. We've come to doctrinalize it. We've come to make it theological. We've come to understand all of that. How about this one? How about just sit down and let the love of God wash over you, my friend, and realize there's a God in heaven and He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave. Please don't miss this at Christmas time. I know it's busy, and I know we're in a hurry, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I know all that. But he sought you out. Huh? He's seeking you still. He's given to you the gift of the unspeakable gift of his son. And he did it all because he loves you. I don't know what your Christmas is going to be like. I have already eaten enough stuff, snacks and goodies that you have provided. And thank you, by the way. And I like looking at Christmas lights. I have certain songs at Christmas I gotta hear every year. Most of them are hymns. I have to hear Nat King Cole sing the Christmas song. I have to. Already have. There are just certain things about Christmas that are just always special to me. And I always think about the Christmases of my past. In a drunkard's home, in the military, with our family. But I don't want to miss what Christmas really means. Please don't you do either. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.